Thanks, Jeremy, and the worship team, music team. And it is great to see so many people here this morning. I would love to think that you saw the post and would come because you saw I was preaching. But I somehow think that Rosa and James might have more to do with it than me. But anyway, I get to share with you anyway. Let's just commit the word to the Lord. Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, that you're a God who wants to connect with us, who wants to relate with us, who wants us to relate to you. And Lord, you know, you're not distant, you don't stand afar off. Lord, we see that in the fact you're coming in the person of your Son. But Lord, you've given us your word, Lord, and in reading, in studying, In learning about your word, Lord, we learn about you, we learn about your heart. And so, Lord, I just thank you and I praise you that, and I pray this morning that as we take this time to read and to talk about, to think about your word, that you would speak to us. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that let there be something here for each of us this morning that would encourage us, that would strengthen us. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as has already been mentioned, we've embarked on a series of prayer and looking at the different aspects of prayer, perhaps we could put it that way. And last week, we learnt how that prayer is not just about asking. It's about much more than just asking God for stuff. And especially if you were able to get to one of our midweek meetings, that was, you know, is quite an important part of the discussion there, important part of the study, that prayer is more than just about asking for stuff. And so this morning, I'm going to talk to you about asking for stuff. Because that's what we're going to talk about. It's called petition, which is perhaps is just a fancy way to say we're asking God for stuff. And that's what we're going to do this morning. But what we do see is that God does invite us to, even tells us to tell him what we need and even to ask for what we need. But the thing is that it does have its proper place. And as we've been using as a bit of a guide, you know, the Lord's Prayer, and in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6 verse 11, part of it, Jesus just says, "And give us this day our daily bread," as he's teaching his disciples to pray and teaching us. So we are told to, we are invited to, we are urged to ask for what we need. You know, but also if we go through the Lord's Prayer, we see that the asking is in its place. And last week we looked at adoration and and worship, rejoicing, praising God. And there's also the important part of, you know, the seeking God's will, and that's all an important part of prayer. And these are not just the only things. We do these things and we don't ask, but we also make sure that our asking, our seeking God, looking for him to supply what we need, does have its proper place. That it's part of a prayer life, a healthy prayer life, must have quite a large part of worship, of rejoicing, of praising God, of adoration, as we called it, and of seeking God. But then there's also the fact that we are told to pray, to ask for what we need. And if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 7, and we'll just look at some of these places, some of these verses in the Bible, where we're told to, where, you know, even more, not just told, but invited to ask God for what we need. So in Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 7, we'll read through to verse 12. It says, "But ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened." So Jesus says there to ask, to seek, to knock. But as I understand in the original Greek, it's actually a continuous thing. It's not just to ask once, to seek once, to knock once, but it's to keep asking, to keep seeking, to keep knocking. And so if we have needs, if there's things that we require of God, if there's things that we would look to God for, then we don't just mention them once, but Jesus actually urges us there to keep on asking and keep on seeking, to keep on doing that. And then he goes on in verse 9. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want... We'll leave verse 12, but... Because I wanted to finish with, will your Father in heaven, who's in heaven, give good gifts to those who ask him? So we see there that actually Jesus says that God wants to give us what is needed, and not only what is needed, but he wants to give us what is good. And so he invites us to ask and tells us even to ask because God wants to do that. And we can get the idea of with prayer that, you know, we've got to convince God to do something he doesn't want to do. But Jesus says God wants to give us what is good. He wants to give us what is best. And there's a multitude of scriptures, and there's probably some that you're well aware of, some of your favourite ones you think of where God tells us, God invites us to ask him. But just some others I have this morning in Philippians 4 verse 6. Says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So we're told in prayer, let our request, what is it that you request? What is it that you need? Tell God about it. Ask him for it. A part of Ephesians 6 verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. The word supplication is actually used again later in the same verse. And coming from the New King James, the word supplication, we don't hear that very much, do we? But essentially it means requests. And actually the NIV actually uses that where we see in the older translations, supplication, the NIV uses the word requests. Translate that request. So let your request be made known to God. Twice in Ephesians 6 verse 18, we're told, let our requests be made known to God. In Philippians, don't be anxious, don't be concerned. Don't get weighed down by care. But tell God about your request. Tell God about what you need. In John 14 verse 13 and 14, and these are the words of Jesus, he says, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And that certainly doesn't sound like the words of a God who is reluctant to give us what's needed. And even beyond what's needed, what's good. But the words there of what Jesus says and the words of the Bible are to ask God. And that he wants us to ask him. He wants to give us what is good. So Jesus invites us to pray. And as I was thinking about that, that's really what these verses are talking about. Jesus inviting us. You know we're commanded to pray. I just loved it a couple of weeks ago when Trev introduced the series. He said, why pray? And he used the word because he says, well, actually, we're urged to pray. And I thought, we're commanded to pray. We're told to pray. But then the way that Trev said, we're urged to pray. And I thought, that's why he's the senior pastor, and I'm not, because isn't it so much more encouraging? But really, that is God's heart. Yeah, we are told to pray, but actually he urges us. And actually, if you get down into looking at these verses about telling him our requests and telling him what's needed, we are urged to, but then he goes beyond. There's actually an invitation where God invites us to come to him and bring our request to him. We're invited to, asking our needs be met. We're invited to pray, to bring our request to him, because it says that God will hear. We can come knowing that God will hear, and we can come knowing that God will answer. You know, because as we already read, that ask and it will be given in there in Matthew chapter 7. And in Jesus' words in John, ask in my name, I will do it. So we can be encouraged to bring our requests and our needs to God, because he will hear, he will answer. And we also see, and we'll look at the verse in a moment, but God knows that we have needs. And he wants to meet those needs. He wants to give us everything that is good. And knowing that encourages us, or at least it should encourage us, to bring our needs to God. You know, we don't have to be shy about it. He already knows that we have needs. He wants to meet those needs. He wants us to bring them to him. He wants also to give us everything that is good. So we can be a bit more expansive in what we think God wants to do for us. And it's not just our physical needs, not just our material needs. It's not just that, you know, we would have food and clothing. But it's needs in every area of our life. We have needs, you know, body, soul and spirit. If we have need of peace, if we have, you know, need for calming, we, you know, whatever it is, any spiritual needs, we bring these needs. It's the same thing. God's not saying, well, I'm going to give supply these needs, but not these others. Every area of your life, God invites us to come to him and to bring his need, to bring to him our needs. He will hear. He will answer. He wants to give us what is good in every area of our lives. And knowing this encourages us to tell God our needs and to ask for them. And that's the intent of what Jesus is saying. So I want you to know this so that you can be encouraged to ask God, to tell him your needs and ask him to meet them. We need to ask God for our needs and our desires. James 4 verse 2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. Well, that's pretty simple, isn't it? Why don't you have what you... Well, you haven't asked God. And if we don't ask God, we won't see these needs. We won't be in a place where he's able to give us every good thing that he wants to. And we need to know that our asking makes a difference. You know, I'm going to talk about why we need to pray and ask God if he already knows. But the thing is, our asking makes a difference. And probably, you know, we could have get many testimonies in this room of people who have asked God for something, and they've asked God and God's come through, God's delivered, God's provided, God's even provided more than what they asked for. And I was just thinking about that, what sort of testimonies should I bring in? But really, when I think of in my life, are the things that God has most obviously done, something that's been provided that has been so obviously of God, it's often the things I haven't asked for very much. I've just brought them to God and he's answered. And some of the other things that, you know, I've prayed for a lot more that are still waiting for. But if we don't ask, we don't receive. Our asking makes a difference in what happens in our lives. And there's further encouragement in Matthew 6 verse 8. Because Jesus says, for your Father knows the things that you need of before you ask him. God already knows. Our Father knows what we need. And that's not for us to say then, well, okay, well, if he already knows, I don't need to ask him. He knows, so it's okay. Come before him. Bring it to him. You know, there's nothing quite so scary as having to ask somebody for something when you think they don't want to give it to you, when you think they're going to say no, especially if it's an authority figure. And it's somebody bigger than us, somebody stronger than us. But Jesus says that God, our Father, already knows. And so that's why we can be encouraged to come and ask him. Because he already knows, he already has it ready for us. The only thing waiting is for us to ask. So we're encouraged to pray. We could say, you know, God knows your needs, so ask. God knows your needs. Now ask. And in that passage, Jesus makes it clear that we don't have to do anything, we don't have to say anything fancy. He just says, talk to him plainly about what you need. And that's why then he talks about, it says, just pray simply in the manner of the Lord's Prayer. Not pray the Lord's Prayer, but pray in this manner. Pray these things. Just talk to God. So he says, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions, as the heathen do. So do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. You know, we don't have to worry about praying something fancy. Just come and talk to God about what our needs are and ask him. And all that is meant for our encouragement to pray and to ask God for what we need. One of the things we learned about this week is that the prayer is not transactional. It's not a matter of if we impress God enough, he will give us what we need. And that's especially true of our asking God, of our bringing our request to him. It's not a matter of me doing something to earn it. And it's not a matter of me having to convince God. So I was just looking and doing a bit of research. I came across, you know, some theology, and a theologian is saying that prayer is about us convincing God to give us what we want. And I thought, do you read your Bible? Because it's not about us convincing God. God already knows what we need. He already wants to give us everything that's good. And if we can approach our prayer and our request knowing that and understanding it's not about us trying to convince God, then that will release us, that will bring freedom in prayer. We're not trying to convince him. We're not trying to twist his arm. And we get this idea of wrestling with God, of contending with God. You know, that, can you imagine having to wrestle with God to change his mind about something? I mean, God is all powerful to start with. I mean, I wasn't even all powerful 30 years ago when I was fitter than I am now. You know, he's all knowing. And he's everywhere. So while you're wrestling with, you know, in the front of him, he's sneaking around you behind you anyway. But God, you know, God's not a man that he doesn't lie. He doesn't change. So we're not going to change his mind, and we need to understand we're not trying to change his mind. But in our asking, it's about us tapping into God for what he wants to give us, what we need. These things are, these verses, all these encouragements, they're to give us confidence that God will hear and God will answer us. You know, God loves us to communicate with him. God loves us, God loves to communicate our needs with him, not just to pray, you know, the prayers of adoration, but to tell him what we need. He loves that. It's what he invites us to do that. But then we get asked the question, so if God already knows our needs, why do we have to ask for them? Why then? I just said that it's not about convincing God of something. But the asking God for our needs is for our benefits. It's not for God's. It's not to twist God's arm. But it's for our benefit. In bringing our needs to God, in asking him, and actually going through that, you know, identifying what we need and asking God for us, it builds reliance on God. The fact that if we ask things and if we have to ask for God, it's a reminder that God is our source. It's a reminder of our need for God. It's a reminder that without him, I can't do anything anyway. And can you imagine if just everything we wanted had just appeared in our laps? You know, what would be the benefit of that? But by us coming to God and asking, it reminds us who is our source. It reminds us that we need God and that our reliance on him. When we bring our request to God. We invite God into our lives, to intervene in our lives. See, because God won't act without our invitation. When he made us, he gave us a free will. And we still have that. You can choose to invite God into your life or not. You can choose to have God involved in every part of your life or not. And when we pray and when we bring our requests and our petitions to him, we're inviting God to intervene. I'm giving God my consent. And I'm giving God, through my free will, I'm asking him to intervene. And so there is a need for us to do that so that we can see the answer to our prayer. When we ask God for our needs, we are casting our burdens on him or our cares on him. You know, 1 Peter 5 verse 7, cast your cares on him for he cares for you. Psalm 55 verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. The New Living Translation says, give your burdens to the Lord. That sounds great. I think I'd love to do that. How do I do that? Well, actually, when we're bringing our needs to God and we're asking him to meet them, that's what we're doing. We're casting our cares, we're casting our burdens, giving our burdens to the Lord. And there's that promise, he shall sustain us. He will take care of us. He will lift us up. We won't be bowed down, we'll be lifted up. And so when we ask God, we're casting our cares on him. Another reason for bringing our requests, that in praying our requests, it helps us understand God's character. We learn about who God is. We learn about his heart. You know, when we genuinely seek him with our requests. Because, you know, as I mentioned a moment ago, can you imagine if everything you wanted just came to you? And especially this day and age where rights are being taken away from parents, that children are being given the right to make decisions. Gee whiz, I'm glad I didn't get everything I wanted when I was a child. Even as an adult, you know, we're talking about motorbikes on Tuesday night, you know, us fellas, you know, imagine brand new Harley Davidson, 1,000cc. I don't know whether Harley Davidson make 1,000cc's, but anyway, just absolutely impressive. I just want that. But don't have the money for it. But then maybe by the time we do have the money, we might decide that it's better to get a car that the whole family can drive in, or a ute that I can throw my tools in, or something, you know. We see in life we don't get everything we want immediately we want it, and that's actually good for us. And the thing is, our bringing our request to God, the act of doing that and continuing to ask, continuing to seek, we're actually learning God's heart and we're learning what God wants for us and we're learning what's best for us. As it does say also in Psalms, that our desires, you know, become God's desires. And there's a great scene in the movie Secondhand Lions. Michael Caine and Robert Duvall there in the bar. These young fellas come in and decide to rough up these two old fellas. And Robert Duvall's character says, now here's an example of what we've been talking about. Ever since he was a youngster, this fellow's been given everything he wants, or this boy's been given everything except for discipline. And we know from life that that's what happens. If you want to know what happens, then of course Robert Duvall's character beats up all the kids and teaches them a lesson. But that's what happens. If we get everything we want, we don't actually get to grow. We don't actually get to understand what we really need. Last year, I just recently had the chance to read Jared Ruffhead's biography. And if you're wondering who Jared Ruffhead is, four-time premiership player for Hawthorn, most games for Hawthorn in the number two jumper. Most well known recently for, you know, he overcoming cancer, but he's talking in his autobiography, talking about, you know, just building his early life and talking about how much he loved being at his nan's. and he was about 2 years old this time, and he stayed overnight with his nan, and he comes home. His mum says, you know, how well, it was good, you know, what'd you have for breakfast? Ice cream? And when, of course, when his parents saw his nan, he said, you gave him ice cream for breakfast. Well, yeah, that's what he asked for. Okay, and that's what, we know grandparents do that, grandparents get to do that, and it's called revenge, really. Isn't it? But we know in reality, if we were to get everything we wanted immediately, you know, we wouldn't get what's best. And so we need to bring our request to God. And in doing that, we're actually learning what's best. We're learning about God's heart for us. When we pray for these things, we get to see God's faithfulness and goodness in our lives. If we just had what we needed without even having to pray for it, we would never, our faith would never grow in that way, because this builds our faith. And it helps us to understand what our needs really are, what I really want. And it's what examples I've just been talking about. What do I really want? You know, today I might think I want this, but as time goes on, especially as I'm bringing it before God, I realize that that's not the best thing for me. And the thing is, and again, just coming back to kids, you know, that right now they might want food now, and you know, they want ice cream now, and they want lollies now, and they want this and they want that. And if we get what we want what we think we want immediately, we often miss out on the best. But praying, bringing our request to God, helps us to understand what our needs really are. But it's also answering the question, do I want this blessing? Remember, God has already provided for us. God already knows these things. Do I really want this? If I really want it, I'm going to bring it to God. I'm going to talk to God about it, and I'm going to ask him. And there's the importance of spoken words as a sign of genuine faith. If we're not prepared to speak it, you know, we don't really believe it. So we're encouraged to pray. And even though God knows our needs, we're still told to pray and encouraged to pray because it's for our benefit, not for God's. And just to try and then bring into some practical thing. Well, how can I see my prayers of petition answered? Because we've all prayed. We've all seen God answer. But I'm sure if I handed out some paper and got you to write some things, you're still waiting for God to answer. So why hasn't he answered that? I don't have all those answers. We do later on talk about unanswered prayer. Maybe that will help us. But there are things that we can do to help see our prayers of petition answered. And I just want to share these, hopefully briefly, with you this morning. You know, we pray for our everyday needs. You know, body, soul and spirit, we pray for our family's needs. We pray for ministry needs. We're invited to, we're asked to pray for them. But when we pray and we're asking God, then what was really helpful is if we pray the promises of God. We pray God's word. If you have a need, you want God to answer it, find a promise in his word. Then pray that. Pray according to that. And hang on to that. Because for one reason, if we start praying the promises of God, then we're praying the same thing that God wants for us. And the best way to get something from God is to pray what he wants to give us. It's really the only way. But the best way, if we want something from God, pray what he already wants for us. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20 says, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen. So if there's a promise in the Bible, then God already says yes to that. And he already says, so be it. The issue then becomes with us. We need to pray that promise and make sure that we believe that becomes what we hang on to. See, because our faith only grows and strengthens within us through prayer and through meditation on the promises of God. You think, well, I know that I have these needs and I know that God meets our needs through faith, but how do I grow my faith? We grow our faith by finding what God says in His Bible, in the Bible, by meditating on that and then by praying that. And even though the answer might be slow in our minds in coming, that while we're praying that, our faith is growing. As long as we continue to pray, you know, keep on asking, keep on seeking. Let's keep on doing that, and that builds our faith the same way that daily exercise improves our physical fitness. Then our faith is built the same thing, daily praying the promises of God. The promises of God strengthen faith. And through prayer, these promises become known and then appropriated. One thing about knowing the promises of God also is knowing which ones are conditional. And often with the promises of God, there is a requirement. Now, sometimes that requirement is simply to believe. Now, an example of a promise of God is salvation. Salvation is promised to everyone, and it's free, isn't it? But if you want the salvation, you believe, you confess, you know, you believe in Jesus, that He's Lord, you confess that He's Lord, and you repent. But it's free, but it requires us to do something. And so often the promises of God, find the promises of God, pray them. But if there's something that God says that if you do this, then that's how you receive this, that's what we need to do. In Matthew 6, verse 33, and it's following the passage about the birds of the air having clothes and having food and the flowers being clothed. And then Jesus says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. So we see we have the promise. If we seek God's kingdom, God's promised to provide for us food, clothing, and shelter. Well, does that mean I never have to ask for it? Sometimes, actually, we do. But the way to receive those things, if there's a lack in these areas, is through giving thanks. If there's an unconditional promise of God, then as we give thanks, even before we see it. And I do love the story of George Mueller. George Mueller was a German, but he moved to England. He opened multitudes of, he opened several orphanages there and ran them, never asked for any money. I think those tens of thousands of orphans passed through them in his lifetime. He never asked for money. He always believed that God would provide. But there were mornings where they set the table, the plates, the cutlery, everything out, and there was nothing to put in them. But you know what they did? They gave thanks. And there's one very famous morning, and this sort of thing happened more than once, but there's one morning in particular that's well known. They set the table, they gave thanks. You know, often something would be provided the night before at the last moment, but this time, nothing at breakfast. And before they'd finished giving thanks, there's a knock on the door. It was the baker. He just felt inspired to get up early and make a couple of hundred extra loaves of bread and to bring them. And then he'd just gone, and there's another knock on the door. It's the milkman. The milk cart has broken down right outside the orphanage. He needs to unload all the milk so that he can repair his cart. See, well, God promised the food, but sometimes we've got to actually give thanks for it even before we see it. And that goes for the other unconditional promises. You know that, things like our protection. Protection has been promised. God's love has been promised. Thank God for them. But there's other things beyond that that we have to faith for. You might think, well, I need a car in this day and age. Well, you've got to use a little bit extra faith for that. You've got to ask for God. You know, God's promised shelter, but I need my own house because of, you know, what I can do with it. There's ministry needs I have. Well, we need to ask God. Find a promise. and then pray that. You know, James 1 verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. So that's the easiest promise there, isn't it? It just says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. As I look around the world, there's obviously not many people believe that scripture. Do you need peace in your life? We already Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. We want peace. We bring God our needs and our concerns. Another thing that's useful is to pray with others. There's power in agreement. But also praying with others is faith building. But then there's also particular promises. You know, like healing is actually promised to us. But then there are also other promises about healing, which is healing comes through the laying on of hands. Or it says if you're sick, to call for the elders. Okay, so maybe we actually need to go beyond just that one thing, believing for ourselves, and find what else God has got to say about that. And we need to hang on to words of encouragement that got's spoken by God to us, whether they're in our own hearts or through others, you know, through the gifts of the Spirit. We hang on to them. They're God's encouragement to us to keep believing, to keep growing, because he's got this. He wants this. He wants to do this. Just finally, this week's prayer tools. So to start with, we had the prayer cards to help us, give us an idea if we needed some help in getting started praying. Last week we had the stickers, stick them everywhere. Some people stuck them all over their computer at work and then wondered why they couldn't see what was happening. Things like that. Some people stuck them on their dogs. I'm not sure whether the dog's been praying or not, but anyway. This week, we've got our suggestion is that there's a prayer app called Inner Room. If you go to in your app store, go to Inner Room. For me, it was the second one. It's the 24/7. I looked at the top one. I thought, no, I definitely don't want that. It was the second one, Inner Room by 24/7 prayer. And what we can do is actually we can set reminders there to pray. And we write down what it is we want. We put in there what we need to pray for. And they're reminders to help us to pray every day and what it is that we need to pray for. Or, you know, and if you live your life on your phone or your tablet, there's go and grab the prayer app. If you're like me and you still like to cut down trees, we have in the bookshop, is a Barry Chance, is my personal practical prayer diary. The same idea. You write down the things you're praying for. Write down just a reminder to make sure that we stay on track. And then you can also write down, you know, when there's the things that, you know, the prayers as they're answered. So they're just a couple of tools which to help us to stay on track, because one of the problems we get with our petitions, with our requests. So I've been asking God this for years, but really what it is we get, oh yeah, I need that. Yeah, please God. And then, but we're not praying strategically. We're not praying consistently. And there's no chance for our faith to grow. And there's no chance for God to minister to us and grow us through that. And so these things, if you need help with that, the prayer diary or the prayer app, I encourage you to do that. Chat to one of us if you need help with the prayer app. All the diaries are in the bookshop. I think this was $8. Need to see Glennis about that. Okay, so just wrapping that up. God is both promise maker and promise keeper. He doesn't just make the promises and not fulfill them. What he says, he will do. We ask because we know that he hears and he answers. As I said, it's not about twisting his arm. It's not about convincing him. Because we know he hears us, because we know he answers, that's why we can ask, why we're encouraged to ask. Sometimes we may have to persevere. But even through perseverance, we persevere because we have confidence in God's character. not because God's deaf, not because we need to wrestle with him, but because we have confidence. You know, there's two parables in Luke 11 and Luke 18 Jesus told about prayer, where, you know, first a man had to convince his friend, had to annoy his friend until he gave him what he wanted, and there's the woman who had to annoy the judge until he got sick of it. But Jesus is contrasting God. He says, God wants to give you what is good. What God wants to give us what is needed. And so we can be encouraged to persevere. God wants to give us good gifts. Making our requests known to God strengthens us. And so that's why it's important that we do it, and that's why it's important we keep doing it. It strengthens us. It changes us. It allows God to grow us. And just a reminder, it's not magic. It's not about twisting God's arm. It's about us talking to God about what he wants to do, letting him do it and letting him change us in the process. So, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you're not far off. Lord, that you're not unwilling to give us what we need. Lord, that you're not, you're not stingy. You're not a Scrooge. Lord, some of these ideas that we can get that can be sown in our lives. But Lord, you say in your word, Lord, to bring our request to you because you know what we need and you want to give them to us. But Lord, when we don't ask, we're the ones who miss out. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be inspired, that we would be encouraged to ask, Lord, not the things that we just want on a whim, but Lord, the things that we would ask for those good gifts that you want to give us. And Lord, I pray, Lord, even this week, that as we will be inspired and encouraged and strengthened to ask, Lord, that we would even begin this week to see answers to our prayer, Lord, the things that you will provide for people here this week. But Lord, and also that not only you will provide the things that we're asking for, but Lord, that you would strengthen us and strengthen our faith, and we would find that we are being built up as we are including the asking for things as part of our prayer life. Lord, not as the only part of our prayer life, but as part of it. And that is strengthening us and building us up and building our faith. And Lord, we just pray these things in Jesus' name, Lord, because it is you who wants to give us. This is your idea. Lord, you want to do what is good for us. Lord, help us to come into that, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.